recent BBC program, Jens Bastian, independent economic analyst with the Macropolis think tank, who before that worked with the European Commission as a member of the task force for Greece, said, we're in uncharted territory. There is a lot of speculation going on, but we have no precedent. We have no roadmap. Now, in those views on Greece, he was echoing, of course, similar concerns by one of our regular economic commentators, Yanis Varoufakis, who, of course, went on to become the Greek finance minister. Quoting Yanis, even if some misguided by rumours that a Greek exit may not be so terrible, or that it may even benefit the rest of the Eurozone, are resigned to such an event. It is an event which will unleash destructive powers no one can tame. On Monday, many thought the destructive powers engulfing Greece had been tamed and global markets rallied, but the mood has changed. So let's welcome Jens Bastian onto the program to help us understand what the hell is going on. Jens, lots of hope on Monday. What went wrong?
Good evening, Philip. What went wrong is a matter of competing proposals that have been tabled between the Greek side and what is called the Troika of Institutions, the International Creditors, and the European Commission. And that despite four meetings within 1 week, the Eurozone finance ministers have not yet been able to agree among each other for a compromise solution, and the Greek government is running out of time and it is running out of money. So we are facing a very dire prospect of Greece not being able to honor, potentially in the coming days, if without an agreement, its international obligations, in particular a large payment coming up towards the IMF next week, Tuesday.
I recall the fact that the olive branch is quite a familiar motif in classical Greece. Has Athens offered any olive branches to Europe?
I would not say that olive branches are right now on the table from neither side. These are very arduous, rather confrontational negotiations. Possibly we are at a stage where there is no more time to negotiate, but only to decide, to have a take-it-or-leave-it proposal on the table. And in my view, both sides are so fatigued, so exhausted and frustrated among each other that they loathe each other, but they still have to work out a compromise. Otherwise, the consequences are dire, first for Greece, but also for Europe.
Tell me, the IMF is clearly stubborn, but you wrote earlier this month that Athens has made some strategic mistakes. What were the worst of them?
In my view, the worst one was to adopt right from day one after winning the elections end of January of this year, a rather confrontational attitude towards the international creditors and European partners. And in that confrontational attitude, to particularly single out Germany. You need, in order to reach a compromise between Athens and its international creditors, you need to have Germany, the German Chancellor Merkel, on side. This is not the case yet, and that is one of the reasons why these negotiations have not yielded a mutual beneficial agreement between all sides concerned.
Jens, according to the Wire reports, the biggest gaps remain on taxes, pensions, labour reform. Which of those do you think are the most significant?
You've just mentioned the most significant one. It is pension reforms. It is the major sticking point between both sides. It is very much about reducing overall expenditure on pensions, but also regarding the statutory working age, and an issue where both sides are actually closer to each other than meets the eye, that is to reduce the availability of early retirement, which is far too generous in Greece, and where I think there is enough space for compromise between Greece and the competing proposal from the international institutions.
Just remind the listener, Jens, what the retirement age is in Greece.
At present, it is 65. That is by and large according to the European average. But the proposal from the Troika of institutions has now argued to increase the statutory working age to 67 by 2022.
Of course, the problems for the government, the Greek government, are that there will be massive protests again in Athens if they give an inch.
These protests have already started. On the one hand, these are voters of the senior governing party Syriza, the so-called coalition of the radical left, as it is officially termed, who are taking to the streets in order to demand, remain steadfast, don't give in, this is about sovereignty, dignity, honor the electoral pledges that you tabled. On the other hand, there are many Greek citizens who are also taking to the streets by saying, we want to stay in the European Union, we want to stay in the Eurozone, don't put that at risk with a confrontational style in the negotiations.
From Reuters today, Jens, the Greek proposals featured a series of tax rises on consumption, business and the wealthy, as well as higher contributions to pensions to meet budget targets. The IMF, of course, wants to see more savings achieved through budget cuts. Varoufakis on our program on a number of occasions, both before and after assuming his high office, makes the point that any further cuts in Greece are going to render them economically even more impotent than they are, and how can they ever repay their debts, let alone, keep the country afloat?
Philip, you actually make an important point here with regard to the tax-heavy proposals. But the irony of the matter is that it is not only the proposal from the Greek government of Prime Minister Tsipras that are tax-heavy. Also, the compromise proposals from the Troika of institutions includes rather intense tax increases. Take, for example, raising the corporate tax from the current level of 26% to 28%, raising various VAT taxation levels, equally front-loading tax payments by corporates, which currently is 50%, to front-load these annual payments to 100%. These are also rather tax-heavy proposals from the institutions of the creditors. And this is where I am surprised about these proposals from the international creditors. They lack an investment perspective. They lack a job creation perspective. Much of it is about revenue raising, not so much expenditure cuts, with the only exception that it argues for a feasible reduction of military expenditure by 400 million euros coming next year.
Jens, we've seen plenty of brinkmanship around the world in recent years, the Republican Party again and again taking the White House to the edge of the cliff before allowing a dribble of funding through. Is what we're looking at an immense piece of theatre, or is June 30 D-Day?
It appears at first sight that June 30th is D-Day for all sides concerned. But as negotiations over the course of the past month have repeatedly shown, in Europe, in the European Union, within the Eurozone, nothing is written in stone. And you are right, Philip, to emphasize, much of this currently is also about theatrics, blame game, finger pointing. And hence, we also need to consider, how do we get out of this impasse? Possibly lesser interviews by government representatives on all sides, and to focus on the essentials. Because at the end of the day, Greece is running out of money and it is running out of time. It needs both short-term, otherwise it cannot honor its domestic and international payment obligations.
I think they should hire you immediately as a marriage broker, Jens. Look, thank you very much for your time. Jens Bastian, independent economic analyst with the Macropolis think tank. It's a good name, isn't it? Prior to that, he was with the European Commission as a member of, yes, the Task Force for Greece. LNL on RN. Our last week of having independent voices before we go to the new licensing system for guests. And here's another ornery character in Adrian Furnham, who joins me to discuss backstabbers and bullies after a little bit of soothing music.